Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together.
Let's podcast. We are trying here.
I am sitting here with the iconic, the fabulous, the amazing Roxy, luxurious Roxy.
Thank you.
Why luxurious? What was like the word that made, like, why was that the word?
I would love to tell you that it was so thought out. It is not. My Instagram handle that was private just for my friends and family was the luxurious traveler.
Oh.
Because I was traveling all over the world to all these fabulous places and my friends were asking me recommendations.
Yep.
So my Instagram was luxurious traveler. And it was private. Like it was like had 1,000 followers, all my friends and family. And then the housewives happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I guess I'll just change traveler to Roxy.
Oh.
And so it became luxurious Roxy. But I am kind of luxurious.
You are. So, you are very luxurious.
I'm real and luxurious all at the same time. So it all sort of makes sense.
It worked out. Okay, so if you don't know Roxy, she is somebody I actually met in real life a couple years ago. Then we got a chance to work together this last year on the NYX swimwear campaign. And I've been dying to sit down and have a conversation with her for some time because she is, what I really like about you is that you're part of like this movement in terms of like body positivity and body confidence and all of that stuff. But you do it in such a positive, light way, but you also share a lot of the gritty truths around, you know, body shaming and a lot of like size issues that we have in the world. So I would love for those of you who don't know her, this is going to be a chance for you to get to know her. And I want to give you a chance to kind of tell your story, how you've landed where you are now today.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a lot to unpack.
But give us like the Coles Notes version of who you are and how you came to be.
Well, first of all, that is the sweetest intro because, you know, you, I truly think, are iconic and you are absolutely part of that movement.
Thank
and a
you.
Leader in that space. And you're so brave. And I always tell you how courageous you are. So
I do
try to keep things light on my Instagram. I'll tell you a little bit about how it all happened. As some of you may know, I was on a reality show, a little one called The Real Housewives. And when I debuted on The Real Housewives, it was a moment where I think women had never seen a curvaceous woman who wasn't talking about how she wanted to lose weight, who wasn't apologizing for her body.
Yes.
I was just, when I did The Real Housewives, I was 34 years old. I was about a size 14 and I'm a confident, curvaceous woman.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was very revolutionary, but apparently other people did. And I remember when the show came out and the press, I sat down in interviews and the first question everyone asked me was, how does it feel to be the first plus size housewife?
Whoa.
And I responded to journalists and I said, I'm not plus size. I'm my size and my size rocks.
Oh my gosh.
And that's literally how a movement was born.
Yeah. Cause you have this hashtag like my size rocks, which works with your name very well.
Yeah,
like,
ROX.
ROX.
And so my size rocks, actually started because I responded to all of this conversation that was happening in the Canadian media about me and about my body. There was a narrative going on about me that I wanted to control because I wanted to make sure it wasn't in a negative light. What's to say that because I'm curvy, why is it a bad thing?
Yes.
And why was it like this conversation that was happening that was so groundbreaking? I didn't, that's the part that I was having trouble understanding. Like people were literally saying, you're a leader, you're an inspiration. And at that time, I didn't understand why just loving myself was so unique.
Yes.
I just couldn't.
This is like pre-Lizzo era that we're living in now. And it's—
This was 3 years ago. I don't even think it was three years ago. I think the show came out 2.5 years ago. This has all happened, by the way, in 2.5 years.
That's wild. Yeah. Like I was watching Lizzo in an interview and she was talking, people asked her about like being body positive or whatever. She was just like, I'm just not body negative. Like, what do I, like, I don't even know what she said. I don't want to misquote her, but like, it is like that whole, like, what do I have to be negative about? What am I apologizing for? Yeah. Like why?
And why do really I have to, and this is the big thing. And so as my story continues, the housewives came out and there was this moment, this episode on the show where a million women can relate to, where they had a trunk show, which if anyone doesn't know, it's where basically rich women are invited to buy designer clothes and drink champagne so they buy more designer clothes.
It's such a sham. Don't invite me, but also invite me.
It's such a sham. So a designer comes and I say, I don't want to go. And this is the kind of thing in my real life I get invited to all the time. Mm. And I always say no to, because of course I know it's not going to have my size. So I say I don't want to go because I say it's not going to have my size. But of course I end up having to go because I'm on a reality show and it's being filmed. And I go and I'm promised that they'll be my size. And then, as happened 1 million times in my life, like every time I've been a bridesmaid or anytime I've done anything, I go and I get to watch all the other women who are really kind of represent that typical housewife. Mm-hmm. They're tall and slim and, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. They're
still
just different than I look.
Yes, exactly.
And they've probably never had a challenge buying clothes. Mm. And so we're in there and I get to watch this sort of like Cinderella moment for all these girls spinning around in beautiful dresses. And I get to stand there as nothing fits. And I wasn't crying or anything like that. I just handled it like I've handled every change room that I've ever been into and every boutique that I've been into while I'm traveling in Europe and or anywhere. And I go in and I want to buy something beautiful and then nothing fits. And I stand there and apologize for my body.
Yeah.
And
I have chills. That is like one of the most relatable things that anybody's ever said. And I'm a size medium and I still have it.
Yeah. So I went on Instagram and I talked about it. Mm. And I talked about how hard it was for me being on The Real Housewives, where I wanted to show up and be glamorous and express my personal style. But it was 1,000 times harder for me to do that because no one has clothes that fit me. Mm. And especially 2.5 years ago, 3 years especially ago, when then. I was doing the show, yep. I'm talking nobody had clothes.
Nobody had
People
it.
Were like, you can get some outfits from Walmart. I was like, what? I'm on The Real Housewives. I want to look fabulous. And so when that show aired and when that all happened, that is truly when a momentum and an energy started to surround me, where I started to build a community of women online by speaking my truth. Mm-hmm. And I think it was such a juxtaposition to what people are used to seeing about a woman in that position in the media. Her just all of a sudden I'm standing up talking about how I can't buy clothes. Nothing fits. Why are people criticizing my thighs? Why are people calling me fat on the internet?
Yeah.
I'm just this fabulous, glamorous, successful woman, I thought. Yeah. And that is when followers from all over the country started reaching out to me. And really, that's when Luxurious Roxy, my Instagram, and My Size Rocks just started to build and build and build. And what has come out of that since that show has been incredible. I took 10 episodes, which is really about women fighting, and I turned it into a movement globally about how to inspire women. And I'm now on a mission.
You are on a mission. There's been so many cool things even recently I've watched you do. Can you talk a little bit about, I don't even know if we can say the brand. I'm sure we can, but like
you can say any brand. I don't hold back.
Okay. So recently something happened with H&M and yes. It was such a cool thing that kind of mm-hmm. happened. So can you share kind of where you took your movement
yeah.
into mainstream and got listened to?
Yeah. So I guess the big insight about 2 years ago was that I was bombarded with messages about where I was buying my clothes from. And
fair
really,
enough, because people-
I was, oh my gosh.
Really? Like, because I used to be plus size.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to shop in, you know, the regular sections of clothes. And you made a statement one time about, and I brought this up before because it's always stuck with me. I remember existing in a larger body, but there was part of me that was like, oh, I don't have to shop in those stores anymore. Yeah. And I don't have to shop in that section. And you said something like, why are we making women shop at like the back corner of the store?
Downstairs, near the food court, in the basement.
Yeah. And why are we like, or even in a store that has a plus size section, like why are they segregating
it's
our
discrimination.
Sizes? It is. And you were like, I don't ask people to go and shop in a minus size. So why am I being asked
exactly.
to go shop in this? And I was like, and now it's like, every time I'm in a store now, when I see a plus size section, I'm like, could you imagine if you were with somebody and you're both like, oh, I love this shirt. And it's like, okay, you go to the corner.
Yeah.
I'll go to the normal women's yeah. section. And it really has woken me up. And I think that's why you're so gentle in the way you talk about things, but it's also very bold
Thank
and very
you.
Courageous. And that's why I loved what happened with H&M because H&M is a pretty inclusive brand, but like
yeah.
talk about what happened.
I can tell you about that and I'll tell you the context of it. So
okay.
after that happened, my goal was to change the fashion industry
mm-hmm.
because I was like, look, the culprits are the fashion industry.
100%.
And why is it like, I've always loved fashion, but fashion does not love me back.
Yeah.
And I go in and want to buy these beautiful clothes. And then I'm told and reminded every day that I don't fit in because they don't make clothes that fit me. And it's like, I'm a confident woman until I walk into a store and I'm reminded by someone else how I should feel.
Oh.
And so I was like, I need to change that. But how am I going to change that? I'm just this girl in Toronto on a mission. And so I called up some of the biggest Canadian brands and one of them was Le Chateau. And
I know
said,
that campaign was unreal.
Thank you. And I said, I'm going to design a collection for you of all sizes. And they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
And I was like, my name's Roxy. I'm on the show. And they're like, okay, let us look you up. And so this is when, you know, you think you're bigger than you are, but that's fine because it was humbling and it was amazing. And
yeah.
I went and I met with the team and the owners of Le Chateau and they totally understood my size rocks and why
mm-hmm.
What I was talking about and why I felt it was important. And they put their money behind me and I designed 6 collections and I was the first person to put size 0 to 22W in a store in the same section. So 2 best friends could walk into a store, shop off the same rack for the same price.
And how did that collection go?
It was amazing.
It was a success.
It was a success and it was
I wanted
awesome.
That friggin' sparkly whatever thing that you were wearing. I can remember it
oh,
in my head.
Oh, whatever you need that we still
like,
have in stock, I'll
oh
find for you.
There was like a photo, but I loved it because it was like this photo and you were like front and center and there was like women of different sizes wearing like the same things. And I was like, oh gosh, like we are in this era and we just talked about the Kardashians and stuff and how like Good American, like I'm sorry, but that was an online shopping experience that now has changed.
I love it.
The rest of the world. Like
I
we're
love
watching
it.
American Eagle start to like follow suit. There's a lot of different brands that are doing this. But you know, years ago when you went online and you looked at something and you bought it, you came and you got it in the mail and you put it on and you're like, I feel like a potato because I don't look like that. I'm not, you know,
no, my
5'10
dream.
And I'm not a size like, and now they have this thing where it like, it shows you what the size of the model
yeah,
is.
It's amazing.
And the normal standard one, she was almost always a size 0 or a size 2 and very, very tall. So now with things like having Good American, so if you've never gone on their site before, basically what happens is you can choose the size of model you want, I think up to a 24, 22. And you can actually see the
Good American
is
definitely the gold standard.
Yeah. Like, but they were the groundbreakers of that.
I've
never seen it before. So when we talk about this inclusivity, like, I don't think people realize, like, even to go on and be like, I'm
well,
size 10.
I did that with
I'm
my models. And
yes.
I was like one of the first people to ever do it.
Yes.
So not only did I cast my campaigns out of women who had used my hashtag,
yeah.
my size rocks from
oh
Instagram.
My gosh.
So it was talk about everyone's a real woman, but talk about like actual women.
Yep.
Like these were my followers.
They
and so
are.
I put them in the campaign and then I showed how you could see in all the ads, I like used my best friend because my best friends all happen to be these really tiny girls.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful, but they're just of a very different body than me. Mm-hmm. So I put them in the ads and I did all these ads where it's the two of us.
Yes.
To show that the clothes look just as good on a size 16 body as they do on a size 2 body.
Yeah. And that's a really difficult thing to pull off. Like that is, and I don't think everybody understands that completely because the fashion industry and even creating these clothes, it's really hard. I've talked to a couple brands before and they were like, we're trying to get inclusive sizing, but it's really hard to get them made. It's really difficult. It's almost like having to create two totally separate lines of clothes. So when a brand takes the extra step or someone like you takes the extra step to be like, let's make this
and I made it on everybody. I made it. And here's the thing is that I come in and I work with brands and I do collaborations and I educate brands on how to make clothes for curvy women.
Yeah.
You know what?
There is a difference.
The darting is different.
It is.
I need to account for the fact that a skirt actually needs to go over my bum and not sit right below my... Like
whatever.
How every curvy girl knows that a skirt is always made.
A mini skirt for me is like
a mini skirt's a hard thing to size.
Yeah.
So I account for the fact that my bust and my hips are going to push it out more, that I need more length on the back. Like there's all these things I was thinking about because I've designed for myself. I am my customer. And so that's my dream. And that's the mission I'm on. And now I've been able to work with great brands. You and I were in the NYX camp.
Yeah.
Like NYX is one. I just did a collaboration with SheerTex where I did
Sheer
a pantyhose
really cool.
that is indestructible. And I'm now working with all these other brands.
I got them in raspberry. They're coming.
Oh.
The pink ones.
And we have
I'm
something
so excited.
And you have a sparkly package coming your way. So
oh
you're
my gosh.
Sparkle all the way.
Okay, just a quick pause from the show to talk about one of today's sponsors, which is Four Sigmatic. And funny enough, I actually just finished a cup of it this morning. And the reason I reached for that and not a typical cup of coffee is because I know that it has half the amount of caffeine, which actually really helps me manage that energy throughout the day. So I'm not feeling that jittery feeling of caffeine. I'm not having that caffeine crash. And I find I'm so much more focused when I do give myself a chance to just sit down, slow down, and enjoy a cup of Four Sigmatic. So I'm a huge fan of the original blend. The mushroom coffee is actually so delicious. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. And I always tell everybody whenever I'm serving it at my home, even today, I was like, it doesn't taste like mushrooms. It just has the power of mushrooms in it. One is chaga. Chaga has been all over the media as this amazing mushroom that actually have some pretty cool like benefits to it. It is called the king of mushrooms for a reason. It supports your immune system and it has antioxidant properties. On top of that, it also has lion's mane mushrooms, which have been used for a long time by Buddhist monks to actually help them with focus during their meditation. So if the Buddhists are using it for meditation, we can use it to help focus, just get great work done throughout the day. And that's what I love about it. So it's 100% organic Arabica coffee beans. It is vegan. It is paleo. It is sugar-free. It is dairy-free. And like I said, it has half the amount of caffeine as regular coffee, and it's truly magical. So one thing I always like to mention as well is it's actually easier on your stomach. For a lot of people, drinking coffee can be really kind of hard on the gut. So this one is so much gentler on your stomach. And that's really something to take away as well. So I, of course, have a coupon code for you. This is a great time to grab this as a gift for somebody in your life as well. So you're going to go to foursigmatic.com/papaya for 15% off your Four Sigmatic order. That is foursigmatic.com/papaya to receive 15% off your order. Now back to the show.
Hi, I'm Allie Webb.
And I'm Michael Landau. We're the founders of Dry Bar, which we started about 10 years ago.
We are constantly hearing from budding entrepreneurs asking us for advice. This podcast is the place to go if you're an entrepreneur and want to start your own business. Subscribe to Raising the Bar so you don't miss a minute of the action and all the fun guests that we have. New episodes come out every Friday, anywhere you get your podcast fix. Why are you laughing? It was good. Your podcast fix.
Subscribe to Raising the Bar, new episodes every Friday, wherever you get your podcast fix.
Well, okay, so bring me back to the H&M though. Like
okay,
what happened?
So, I went to H&M and I was invited to by their PR team to shop the collaboration they did with Jean-Baptiste Vallée before anyone else. Not before anyone else, I guess.
Yeah. Just like a
media were invited.
Yes.
And so I went and I was so excited.
Yes.
Because H&M is a brand that I love because they actually have plus sizes.
Yes.
And I went and I was just so amped up. And when I got there, the PR girls told me that they only had up to a size 8.
The entire collection only
went to they told me is the collection only went up to a size 8 and that they only had a size 8 there to shop. Now, in fact, the collection online did have extended sizing. It went up to, I think, a 16 online or a 14.
That's still...
Yeah, but it's better than nothing. But in there, I was shopping the special experience and nothing fit.
Yeah.
And it was a very demoralizing experience. So I went online and I talked about it because nothing's going to compromise my integrity.
Yes.
And yes, I would love to work with H&M, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to call you out if something happens.
No, fair enough.
So in a very respectful way, I went on my Instagram and I talked about how that made me feel.
Mm.
And it's not just how it makes me feel. And this is where I take issue, is that the person promoting that campaign is Kendall Jenner and she has 100 million followers.
Mm.
And how many of those 100 million followers are going to walk into an H&M excited and amped up and then feel disappointed and shameful about their bodies because it doesn't fit them?
Yes.
And so I talked
about
this.
And that's a lot of younger audience too, right? Which makes you, I don't know, your heart just gets a little,
They're vulnerable and I know that that's dangerous and what that can do to a woman.
Yeah.
And so when I spoke about that, I have to applaud H&M for this. They're global team and their Canadian team both reached out to me and said, like, look, we're so humiliated this happened. We also want to fix this. So they invited me in for a conversation and I recently sat down with the head of H&M Canada. And I tell you, she listened to my story with an open heart. And I don't know what's going to come of it. I told H&M, my dream is that I can be responsible or I can be the voice that forces you to put extended sizing into the store.
Yes.
And so if I can do that and nothing else, my mission is made.
Well, and it comes back to that same point again. Why are we pushing women of a bigger size to shop online because we don't carry that in the stores? Like, again, it's pushing people away from being in the public and being like part of a community. Like, I'm sorry, but this is like, I think the average North American woman is a size 14.
It's so wild to me that everyone is told that they don't belong here. I was at Clamatico this week. I wanted to buy this pretty purple suit I found. And I asked the girl, Clamatico goes up to a size 14. She goes, but in store, we only carry up to size 12. I go, it's one size. Looking at your rack. There is plenty of room for you to put the 14 there.
Yeah.
Why do you have to put it only online?
Yeah.
What is the rationale of why you cannot have the 14 in the store?
Yeah, no, it
doesn't
really make a lot of
sense. Do you think I do not deserve to try it on? Do you want to say to the world that you're a store that isn't for women like me? Because that's what you're telling me.
And I think what's important too is a lot of brands will sometimes push back and say, you know what, we wanted to, but it's really hard because the product just sits there. And you know what? Let it sit there because eventually women will start to understand and realize that the clothes are there available to them. Women have been pushed out to different stores and to corners of stores and only online.
So why would they have no confidence to go in?
Why would they even know to come in and even know to look?
Through their ads, through your clothes, you've literally been telling them for years you don't belong here.
Exactly.
So it's going to take a moment for them to belong there.
It's going to take
a
moment.
But I want to be the one. And that's what I am on a mission to do. I'm on a mission to change the fashion industry to make it inclusive. And so I'm doing that through collaborations with brands where I design clothes to help them be inclusive, or I'm doing that through conversations where my voice, and that's why my Instagram is so important to me. The more people I have in this army, when I go in and sit down with an H&M of the world, the second largest retailer in the world, if I can say I have, okay, well, I have like 85,000 followers right now, but if I have 85 million, you know, that there's power in numbers. I can say, look at all of the women who support this decision.
Yes.
I'm not just one girl. This is a business decision. I represent 85,000 consumers in Canada.
And that's
my mission.
And exactly. And that's why I think it's so important for women of all sizes to follow someone like you, because you are carrying this conversation that without knowing and experiencing it, you just wouldn't know. I'm somebody who has experienced those things, but because when I got into a thinner body, I stopped experiencing them. It's not that I meant to forget, but I definitely existed in a new privilege, and you constantly bring me back to this place and this understanding and this, I'm not going to call it like empathy, but just like,
Empathy, having empathy for,
yeah, but
because, you know, I have friends who are a size, you know, like one of my girlfriends is a size 2 and she's like, you know, she's like, I'll be going on a date and I want to go get something fabulous. Yeah. I just run to Zara.
Yeah.
She's like, it never occurred to me until you started talking about, like, imagine being on this TV show and having all these media appearances and I'm in the press all the time and photo shoots. Do you know how many stylists have emailed me the night before a shoot and said, do you think Roxy can just bring her own things? And everyone else gets all these dresses pulled for them and borrows all these dresses and gets to, but for me, I'm like, at the last second, she struggles and of course realizes there's nothing she can put me in.
Yeah.
So her default is, can Roxy bring her own clothes?
And
it's 1,000 times harder for me to be fabulous than anyone else.
But yet she comes and she shows up.
I show up. And so that's why I'm like, I want to make other women feel good. I want to give women these. That's why I make sparkly dresses.
I
have sequin jumpsuits.
You've had some pretty big celebrity names even reach out to you. What happened? It was the Emmys last year, wasn't it?
I think the coolest moments was Chrissy Metz from This Is Us wore a gown I designed for her to the Country Music Awards when she was performing with Carrie Underwood. Okay. I've dressed her a few times. I've dressed her for InStyle magazine.
Oh my goodness.
Lena Dunham was wearing my clothes on Jimmy Kimmel. That was pretty cool. And then all these other just like amazing, incredible, powerful women, you know, journalists that I respect, women in the media, women like you, like influencers that I love.
I'm like gunning. You need to have like, I know you work with brands and stuff. I'm like, you are a freaking brand. Like I see so much for you and I'm almost like, I just want you to do it. I just want you to be this brand.
I can't.
It'd be so nice to back something that you feel good about. I sometimes struggle with that. Like when, like you just mentioned Zara, like that is a hard thing for me because sometimes I wear something and I'm like, crap, like I don't want people to be like, where did you get that from? And I'm like, Zara, sorry if you're over a certain size.
I struggle with that.
You can't wear this. And, you know, that's why I love promoting as much as like Good American is expensive. I bought a pair of jeans because you were wearing a pair of jeans. And I was like, what style are these? Send me the friggin' link. And
they
are
expensive though.
They are expensive, but I wear them so much because they actually complement my body in all the right places. Mm-hmm. And I knew it would because it looks so good on you. And then I saw them looking on all different types of bodies. And I was like, this actually makes a difference. It's a different experience. But that's why I love talking about brands like Knixwear. And I love talking about brands like American Eagle. Cause I'm like, I know if I mention them and I say it, that people aren't feeling left out from this conversation and the style, right? That part is hard. Cause like, again, you exist in your privilege and you go and you shop about your days and you forget, like you just forget.
That's why I don't do like, you know, I see these fashion bloggers and they're every day posting like 1,000 outfits.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, why don't you do that? I wish you posted more about your outfits and where you got them.
So people could shop it.
And I was like, the reason why I don't do it every single day, 3 times a day is because I don't have that. Like I have like 6 options of where I can tell you can get inclusive clothing.
Yes.
One of them I'm creating and the rest, like, so I don't have the privilege of doing that.
Yes, exactly.
And all I would be able to do is show you 1,000 things that you can't get.
Yeah.
It's very easy to go to Zara and find 1,000,000 brands that fit a size 0's fashion blogger.
Mm.
And she's endlessly sent clothes that fit her.
Yeah.
You think I am? No, I'm like out there searching online for stuff that fits women and then trying to share what I can.
And on top of that, if you look at like when I grew up and, you know, I had a plus size mother, I was plus size. Like by the time I was 12, I was beginning to shop in plus size. And I remember everything was like a muumuu. Everything was like cover, hide.
That was why I designed the clothes because
this
everything.
This is what I love about you because you, and I say this like delicately, it's really fucking flattering to see a woman with curves showing them and not hiding them and being like ashamed of them. Cause we were just having a conversation before the podcast. And we were both saying like how, like if I were gay, like I would 100% be after like a curvy woman. Like I love it. It is so hot to me.
Me too.
But I grew up, I think the reason I'm so attracted to it is cause I didn't get to see that before. Like before it was all like, I said this on my Instagram the other day, cause Mia Tyler,
I love her.
So back when I was like shopping in Pennington's years ago, I saw her ad and she was this young, gorgeous woman. And she was wearing like, I literally can picture it. She was wearing like a leather tight skirt and like a band t-shirt. And she looked so cool and so hot. And I remember just like looking at it and just like staring at this picture and being like, curvy girls are fucking gorgeous.
That's why it's so important.
And I was like,
that people,
oh my
like,
gosh,
that we keep posting images.
Yes.
This is why our Instagrams are so important, that the ads we're in are so important.
Yeah.
It's because if you can't see it, you can't believe it.
True.
Like, if you don't see a beautiful, curvaceous woman who's stylish and fabulous and successful, how can you ever believe that you, as a curvaceous woman, can be those things?
No, I totally
agree. It's like everyone else gets an icon.
Yeah.
Everyone else has a fashion idol.
Yeah. I've had this, like, massive revolution, like, I'm like so bad with words today. I'm so sorry.
No, no,
I've
you're
had
great
this
with
revelation.
Words.
I was going to say revolution. It was not a revolution. It was a revelation. But about the fact that a lot of the content I was creating before was very much my journey through understanding my body and coming to a place of peace with it. So I was always like, it's okay that I have stretch marks. It's okay that I have curves. It's okay that I have cellulite. And now I'm in a place of like owning it. And I'm like, I need to show women that like it can be sexy and you can feel sexy and it's okay to have these curves. It's okay to have cellulite. I don't really care. I'm still going to wear those. Like I have like those thong bathing suits now. Cause they're like all the rage, like the 437s. I love them. My butt is out and I'm like, who cares? I feel so hot in it. And it's changing the way that women see it because it's the same thing. We got so apologetic about our bodies, no matter what size you are. It's kind of all relative, right? Because even a size 2 woman is still going to have insecurities about her body because it's everywhere.
Well, that's why it's called my size rocks, not my curvy size rocks.
Yes, exactly.
This is about women of all sizes.
All sizes.
Who are just done with people telling them how they need to look, that their size is their value, about what makes them beautiful. It's like, this is my movement is about, and that's why my clothes are for all sizes, because it's like, I want women to be reminded that we're all one. We're not this separated by this size on our jeans. And you posted something I think it was like yesterday that I just thought, oh my gosh, that's so powerful. And I don't exactly remember who it was, but it was a girl talking about how she saw you in the Knicks campaign. She saw your stretch marks and she was talking about how sexy you were.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was like, yes.
It was a YouTube video. There was like some random YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. And it was like,
they were talking about the downfall of Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. And they were talking about how sexy it was to see you in an ad. And I was like, yeah, when did we need to start rewriting? Because we've done a lot of apologizing. Now it's our job.
It is.
And our community's job of women with these voices. It's our job to start rewriting what beauty is.
Exactly.
What a bikini body is, what beautiful is.
And how many different facets of it there are. This is my biggest like point to everyone is like, stop following women that just look like you.
Oh
I did
my
it.
God.
My whole feed was that.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, if you start to follow all different sizes, colors, shapes of women and ages too, you suddenly realize how friggin' beautiful so much diversity is.
And that's
it
what
changes
I mean about
the way you
seeing
see
it and believing it.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about the media. That's why everyone talks, you know, I often get like people say to me in interviews, how do you change the media or this? And I go, we are the media
now. We are the media now.
We are the media.
We are it.
Like, okay, how important is it that you see me in an ad in a magazine? It's important, but I am the media. A picture of you or a picture of I could be used and reposted and a million people could see it.
Yeah.
This is the media. So
it's
we
so
are responsible for the images we're putting out every day to women. And
it's
we
so
can
true.
Redefine that. We are redefining. We're rewriting history.
It's so true because before we didn't, and this is why like people can smack down on social media and oh my gosh, it's caused us so many insecurities and stuff like that. I'm like, but also,
yeah,
like,
no,
the other
I'm
side
the
of it,
also, it's empowered
also,
me.
Also, yeah, it's changed the conversations. It's changed the narratives because we became the media.
Yeah.
We became the news. Like we are society.
Also, can we just
we're
take
the ones
a moment
to
say
that.
Like, Sarah, how badass is that? That we became the media.
We became the media.
High five to us.
High five. Oh my
at least
gosh.
Here in Canada, we are
we
a part
it.
Of the media.
And that's so amazing. It's so amazing to watch and see and have that. Like, I love that you said when things kind of became out of control in the media, how they talked about you, you took that control back. And I feel like that's something that we don't recognize we have the power to do now. You know, back when our mothers, like, a lot of people, when they talk about diet culture and stuff like that, it does root from our mothers. And it comes, we talk a lot about like, I grew up and my mom had Slim Fast for lunch and she was on this diet and this diet and this diet and this diet. And I watched her struggle.
Oh my gosh,
and it's
yes.
like, but also your mother didn't have an opportunity for a different.
She didn't. She was bombarded.
No.
And I said this recently when I was speaking, I was like keynoting an event and I was saying, don't be so hard on yourselves. We are undoing years of damage the media has put on us.
Yep.
Like we're talking about endlessly bombarded throughout. If you're my age, and I'm 36, if you're my
age,
I'm
almost 35.
Okay, so around our age,
yeah,
literally for the last 25 years of our life, we've been bombarded with an image of what beautiful is, and it's been one singular image.
Yes.
And so
how boring.
That's a lot of history to undo.
Yes.
So it's going to take a moment, but just in the same way that it shaped what we saw as beauty, now we can be responsible, and all the women out there doing cool things, we collectively, not talking about just you and I,
yeah,
I'm not, you know, suggesting we have that much power, but we collectively as a community are now able to reshape what the next generation of girls feel.
It's
and
so
see
funny.
And like, understand.
I get to the question a lot, like, how do your kids feel about like seeing these things? I'm like, it matters that they see me choosing to do what I feel. And it matters to me that they understand that there is authority that you have over your body and the narratives that you choose. When we go to the doctor, I said to the doctor, we actually don't do scales. So can she face away from the number? And my daughter was like, why? And I was like, because this number is never going to define you. And I know that if you see it, it might start. So let's just not.
Yeah.
We're so much better than that.
Oh,
and she
I
was
love
like,
that.
All right. And like kind of went on about her day. And I was like, there's so many things we can do. And yes, like I'm in my underwear on the side of a bus and my kids think it's like hilarious and stuff like that. But
don't underestimate the value. Don't underestimate the power. Don't belittle the power of that.
No,
that is a powerful image, image.
It's a powerful thing for them to see. And it's a powerful thing to see beside me, a woman, like a strong Black woman who's like 20 years in the music industry, Julie Black. And beside her is Nikki McLean, who is a breast cancer survivor.
Yeah, it's a powerful
image. She has like no breasts. And then there's another woman. She's a curvy, I think her name is Shirley. Beautiful Black woman in a very like, she's so radiant and beautiful. And you look at these four images and it's like, all you can think about is how stunning it is. Not about, oh, they don't look anything like the norms. It's like, no, we are the norm. Like, why did we ever think that this 1% ruled the world? Because that's
well,
all
I know
we
why
ever
we thought
saw.
It.
Yeah, I know too. But
and don't forget that just in the same way that we exist, Kylie Jenner and like the Kardashian girls have more social media power than anybody on earth, I think. And think of the very, very specific type of beauty that they're suggesting is beautiful every day. And I'm not saying they're not beautiful. And you know, I absolutely love Kim.
I know, you know.
You know, I'm a Khloe diehard.
Yeah.
But I think of like a little girl looking at Kylie specifically. And I don't blame Kylie for the fact that she's done all that. She's grown up in a world of people telling her how she needed to look.
People need to give a lot more grace
to people who
grow up in that. They don't, they don't get the opportunity
for a
different.
I'm not suggesting that it's.
Yeah.
But it's more that she feels in a way that she's changed her body and she's changed her face because she feels that she needs to like look a certain way to feel beautiful. And then the problem with that is that when you are seeing that so frequently, then that becomes the norm of what's beautiful.
Yes.
And that's why when I left the house today, I don't have any fake eyelashes on. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I look that good.
Yeah.
Because what? I need fake eyelashes now to look beautiful? Because now all I ever see is girls with fake eyelashes. So now if I don't have fake eyelashes, I don't feel beautiful.
Or let's just talk about, so I was on Snapchat the other day because somebody told me that there's a filter that has a pink hat. So I was like, oh, I gotta go see this. And I was like going through, you can check through the filters and you can see all the different filters you can do. And I'm going to say about 95% of them changed the shape of my face. They all made my eyes a little bit bigger, my nose more slender, and my cheeks smaller as well. Yeah. And there is actually like this body, like there's this face dysmorphia thing that happens with like Snapchat and like those types of things. Like it's very damaging, a lot of things that are happening, which is why like, yes, social media can be so damaging. There are people who are making choices for their body that does have influence. This is a big reason why like I love to be undone and I love to be done up and I do both.
Yeah,
and I think
that's
it's
why
important
I show my
to
both.
Show both because I love to do the fake eyelashes sometimes, but
me
like
too.
Mine, and then I love to take it off. But I'm like, there's a certain difference between what we're feeling makes us more worthy and what doesn't. Like if you put eyelashes on now, you know that that isn't making you more worthy. It's just this like, I want to feel like this
like,
extra oomph.
Right after this, I have to go home and I'm in hair and makeup for an hour and a half because I have a shoot and then I have an event. And it's like, that's what I need to do to exist in the world I exist in. But then I also am like really, really, really adamant that people endlessly see me on Instagram without makeup, in my gym clothes being a hot mess.
Yep.
I think I posted a photo of me yesterday. It's like, I've just woken up. I've literally put on my gym clothes, gone down to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm a disaster. And I'm like, this is a work in progress. Yes. My life, my career, my body, my mind.
But important to note, like it takes an hour and a half of hair and makeup to get to that picture that you're going to see later. So it's really nice to see the other side of it. I even saw Jennifer Aniston did like the Instagram versus reality thing. And she was like the behind the shoots. And she was just like showing like how much actual effort is being put into like this really amazing image, which before we only ever saw the really amazing image. Yeah. And it made us feel like crap about ourselves.
Well, I think it's interesting. You talk about Jennifer Aniston. She joins Instagram and then gets the most followers ever. I think we need to be cautious of who we put our power behind. Yeah. Because that is the path. Like the voice on Instagram is big. And if we put our numbers, the people you follow matter.
It does.
And it matters that you're following people every single day that you're giving a powerful voice to, because you're giving them power. So
now just think
about who you're giving power to.
Yeah,
do you want power to be going to a girl who is, you know, endlessly promoting diet culture and insecurity and telling you endlessly that you need to buy and consume things to feel good? Or do you want to put power behind a girl like yourself who is endlessly talking about how you are worthy on your own and that it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
And it's a, we've got to really like, we are those people. You can't talk about how you're annoyed that Kylie Jenner rules the world. And
we're
then,
the one that gave her that ruling.
If you follow Kylie Jenner, and look, I'm not hating on Kylie Jenner at all. I'm just saying she's an example of, you are the power. Like the power's in the consumer's hands these days. It's never been this much in our control as it has before.
Yeah,
it used to be
so true.
We turn on the television and we are told, and brands tell us what we see in magazines, and that's, they owned all the power. Now I might potentially change how H&M works.
Yes.
I mean, that's a really lofty goal and I'm putting that out there, and that is by no means what H&M promised me. They promised to listen to my story.
Yes.
But there's a possibility that that story could go on to be told within a leadership team at H&M who listen to that story and then maybe reconsider. Mm. And it's like, we have this power as consumers.
Yeah.
We have a voice. We've never had a voice like this before. We as women have a voice. We have women who want to see diversity.
Yes.
Have a voice.
100%. Like, and I think
so that's use it wisely.
Yeah. And when we talk about privilege, a lot of times privilege can kind of get your back up a little bit. You're always like, oh gosh, like privilege, that makes me feel icky. Privilege is something that a lot of people have. You and I both have it. We have it for different reasons and different ways, but it does give opportunity to open that door, to extend that seat at the table. And we need to make sure that we're using it. And that's why I'm constantly pushing people following different types of people that I found online. Cause I'm like, they're actually changing the way I think and how
totally
I operate in my privilege. I was just saying the other day, like I follow a lot of women in the disabled community, and it's changed the way I look at things when I go out in public. I'm like, things that are accessible or not.
The Uber I took here was an accessible Uber.
Oh my gosh.
And I asked the Uber driver, how does somebody get this? And they go, oh, you just go to Uber Wave and it's for people who need a wheelchair or have a disability.
That
and I was
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
And I don't know if I would have thought of that for exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I follow women who talk about the need for inclusivity in that community. And that's made me change that lens.
It's made you change it. Same with like following women who are in plus size bodies, understanding their conversations and stuff. Quick little break from that conversation to talk about another one of today's sponsors, which is Vistaprint. And Vistaprint is an incredible custom shop when it comes to holiday cards, calendars, other photo gifts as well. I have been using Vistaprint for more than a decade. I love it because, to be honest, I didn't always know how to do some of these fancy things. I didn't have the money to put together something really cool and custom. Yet I was able to affordably design a custom family card to send out to my family at the holidays. So this is a really great way for you to be able to do that as well. And you know what? If you missed the boat on Christmas, no worries. Send out a New Year's card, send out a card in February. It doesn't matter. People just want to see you. They want to hear from you and they want to see how you and your family and loved ones are doing. I love how user-friendly Vistaprint is. You can literally take a photo straight from your phone, upload it onto their site and choose from any one of their designs. There are so many options to choose from, and you can get square or rounded corners, flat or folded, beautiful designs that are glam, eye-catching, fun, funny, whatever works for you. And you know what? There are so
many good things to say about them and so many other options like photo gifts that you can choose from as well. And with 100% satisfaction guaranteed, you really are not risking anything at all here. So right now, all custom cards and calendars are up to 50% off. So this season, make it more merry with Vistaprint.com with up to 50% off of holiday cards and photo calendars, plus great deals on photo gifts at Vistaprint.com. Just enter promo code PAPAYA50. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code PAPAYA50. And that offer expires January 5th. I know we don't have a ton of time left here, but I would like to talk about this one thing that happened a couple weeks ago. You were sharing your new fitness goals that you had and stuff like that. And there's a lot of assumptions and judgments that are made
so much judgment
when somebody
about my
exists
fitness.
In a different size body that you must not be somebody who works out or that you must not, like, it's so wild. So
it's just so frustrating. I can't win either way.
And
with
you were really vulnerable about
it.
I was really
emotional.
I know it was really hard for you, but it also gave a lot of people an opportunity to hear and to see firsthand what it is like when somebody who, and let's be real, like you're kind of not even, are you even plus size? Are you kind of in the middle? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. But regardless.
I'm my size.
You're your size.
But no, I can't shop in straight size stores if that, or regular sizing, mostly I can't shop.
My point being that someone can just look at somebody in a curvier body and be like making an assumption about their fitness. Either it's not enough or it like, so say what happened, tell the story of what happened.
Okay. So I was in California and I had worked really hard the last few days. And so how I like relieve my stress is I hike. And so I hiked this mountain. Let me talk. I hiked a mountain. Okay. And it was a huge accomplishment for me. And the whole time I was Instagramming and you could see I was out of breath and it was hard. And I finally got to the top and it was such an accomplishment. And I posted a photo.
Right.
And everyone's like, you're obese. I'm like, what? I am. You're perpetuating obesity. You don't work out. You're this. Stop lying to us about how fit you are. It's clear that you eat, binge eat every single night. So stop talking about your fitness. And then this is the one that really struck me. It's you've been posting photos of you working out for the last year and I haven't seen one transformation. So clearly you are lying to us and binge eating at night. And I was like, you know what? That's it. This happened to be the anniversary. I lost my father a year ago, tragically.
Okay.
And this was a day before the anniversary of his death.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, do you have any idea how much I've transformed?
Yes.
I have worked my way through one of the greatest losses of my life.
Yes.
Well, out there every single day, putting myself out there. I'm trying to change the fashion industry.
Yes.
I represent all of these women. I'm endlessly criticized about my body. Mm-hmm. I'm up against the biggest corporation in the world are telling me no. And I'm still out there banging on their door saying, no, we need to actually do something. Do you have any idea what everyday being me is like? I'm not saying it's challenging. I'm just saying it's a vulnerable place to put yourself out there and try and change the world.
Yes, it is.
And then I hike a mountain and still, that is still something I'm going to be criticized for. How is everything that I do with my fitness about my body changing? Why isn't it about my mind changing and my cholesterol changing or my heart changing or my brain changing or my positive outlook on the world changing?
Yeah, those are the things that truly make a difference. Your body doesn't need to perform.
If you haven't lost 100 pounds, then you have not transformed at all.
There's a huge misconception that women who exist in larger bodies don't work out. And I follow like Meg Boggs, for instance, is like one of my favorite examples because she exists in a plus size body and she is like one of the strongest physical women I've ever seen and witnessed online. Yet she is fat shamed daily. She is like assaulted by these comments and things like that. And I'm like, it's insanity to me that we literally place fitness in this box separately from the body confident or body positive movement or whatever it is. Like they can coexist. Fitness is not diet culture.
I am
exercising for you.
I am really over women telling me that I perpetuate obesity. Do you know how many women
I get that too
have messaged me saying that because of me, they've lost weight. They've been inspired to work out. I am not talking about obesity.
No,
I am not saying that obesity isn't an issue. I am not saying that it is healthy to have this much weight and carrying this around on you. I am just telling you that you don't need to hate yourself being who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you want to change, you don't need to hate yourself in the process.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not trying to talk about obesity. I'm not even talking about
health.
I'm just talking about not hating yourself.
Yes. And I think what's really, and coming back to like the binge eating thing, that's like one of the largest undiagnosed eating disorders that exist out there. And what's difficult about it is that people are like, well, it's just really unhealthy. And like, that's really bad for you. Binge eating disorders often stem, like most eating disorders and mental health illnesses, they stem from trauma. They stem from a pain. They stem from somewhere. So to sit there and shake a shame stick at somebody who's struggling in their trauma, like it's just, it's ridiculous and it's not okay. And
it's
that's why
not
it's like,
okay.
We have to like take the comments that were, even the ones that like, if your first thought was like, oh my gosh, like I love the talking about first thought, second thought thing. Cause like second thought is like who you really are. Your first thought might be like, oh my gosh, like, is she overeating? Like, is that why? Okay. Not a great first thought. Second thought should be like, doesn't matter what she's eating. That's none of my business. She's moving her body. That's none of my business. But like how exciting and how cool. And like, you can actually be confident in your skin and in your body in any shape and
Here's
size.
Here's the other thing.
You don't have to wait never, to be a certain size before you get to celebrate.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that I have never said that I don't have goals to lose some weight. I have never said that my body is perfect. I have never said any of these things. Mm-hmm. I would like to be the best possible version of myself that I can be. And I'm trying to be that every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, so when you see me working out, I'm either, you're so fat, you should go to the gym, but don't go to the gym because you're too fat to go to the gym.
Yeah.
But go work out. You need to go work out. Okay. But then go to the store and buy fitness clothes, but nothing fits you because you're too fat to work out. I'm like, you're sending me mixed messages, world.
It is instead, so messy.
It is so messed up. So instead, just let me exist. If I'm trying to lose some weight, maybe I am, but that's my point. If I'm trying to lose weight, stop criticizing me, but also why do I have to hate myself the size I'm at?
What I love about you is that there will never be a point, like let's say you lose a bunch of weight over time. I don't care. It really doesn't matter. But you will always be able to look back and say, I owned and loved myself at every single
feel good
stage
now,
of my body.
I might feel good if I drop a size.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Size rocks is about.
You're not defined by those numbers.
That's the difference.
Yes.
It's like, me losing weight, not losing weight, the size of my hips, the size of my breasts, the size of my tummy.
Yeah.
That is not what defines me. And that's what My Size Rocks is about. It's about saying it doesn't matter what size you are enough on your own.
Yes.
If you want to change and you want to transform and you want to be on a journey to be something smaller, bigger,
whatever it is,
do it. But just don't apologize for who you are now.
Exactly. And don't choose to not exist until you have this like goal body. That was like my big thing, was that when I was losing weight.
Oh my gosh, the goal body.
Head,
but here I am showing.
But I had this like in my head that I would be able to do all the things in the world once I lost weight. So I definitely had this like, I'm going to hate myself happy mentality in my weight loss. And that's why when I dropped 100 pounds, I wasn't happy. And that's why I had to come back and be like, oh gosh, this isn't the thing. This isn't going to be the thing that works.
Also,
so when people all the time are like, how did you lose weight? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you because I hated myself through it.
And imagine how much life women are missing out on.
So much life.
Because they are too ashamed of who they are. Do you know how many messages I get from women saying, I love your clothes. I'm going to buy it. I'm working out really hard. So I'm going to buy it when I'm this size, or I'm going to go on vacation when I'm this size, or I'm going to get married when I'm this size.
Yes.
They are missing out on life because of the size that they are.
Which is
just
insanity.
Start living and loving your life.
Yes.
And if you want to change your size, that's amazing. I empower you to do that. I just ask you not to hate yourself in the process.
Yes. My Size Rocks.
Just stop hating yourself. Love yourself.
No matter what the size.
Hashtag My Size Rocks.
I love it.
I promise you, move your body and exercise is a celebration of what your body can do.
Yes.
It is not out of shame for what you ate.
Yes.
It is not a punishment because of your fat. It should be a celebration because of the fact you can actually just move. So go move,
go
be happy, go be healthy in mind, body, and soul.
What a privilege to be able to, right?
Rock who you are,
rock
your curves,
oh my God.
Rock your skinniness, rock whatever it is. My Size Rocks.
That was like, whoa, drop that mic right now. Yeah. Okay. I love you. That was incredible. Tell everybody where they can find you.
because luxurious Roxy.
I need literally everybody to follow her. So
it's, oh my gosh, please, not everyone Roxy, follow like, me. Because like I said, the power is in, I'm not ashamed to say that. The power that I have is in the numbers I represent and the people that I represent.
So the more people that back you, the more we're backing a much bigger message and a much bigger movement.
It gives it gives me the power to go into brands and say,
look at the numbers.
Actually, look at these numbers behind how many women are saying they're sick of being told how they should look by you.
Yes.
They're sick of not seeing their size in your store.
Yes.
The more people that follow me, the more power I have to go in and actually change a brand.
100% agree with that. I had somebody ask me this week, how can I best support you? And I was like, honestly, just like share the message.
Share.
If you're sharing me, if you're sharing somebody else, like share the message, like put it out there. You have a platform too. Everybody is an influencer. We all have a power. And I love what you said about putting that power back in our hands in terms of like who we follow is sharing that power. We're giving it to somebody else.
And be careful who you give your power to.
Careful who you're giving your power to. So I'm highly, highly recommending. Roxy knows this. She scared the shit out of me when I first met her. And I was like, I don't know about this woman.
You've got to be confident to change the world. Like one has to empower you. You
scared the shit out of me is what she did. But you're such a good friend now. And I'm so honored to know you and you know, in all your amazing ways. And I recommend you to so many people. I love throwing you up in my stories. And then people always write me back and say like, thank you for sharing her account. Like I
always
love her.
Follow me. And I love it. And they all message me saying, I found you because of the Burt's Papaya. And I just love you. And I'm like, that's so sweet because there's so many girls on Instagram and there's so many girls who talk about empowering other women and they are so not the real deal. Mm. And so when you find women who are the real deal, that's why I endlessly talk about certain girls.
Of course.
And because I think they're the real deal.
And it's important because like for me, I could talk about the things that like that I can share from my personal experience, but I'm not you and I can't replicate the things that you're talking about and the things that you're doing, but I can definitely hand you a microphone. I can definitely share you in my stories. I can definitely push some people your way because I think it's important what you're doing. So
I have, can I just tell you one thing?
You can.
I have a saved folder of photos of my stretch marks.
Oh my gosh. Do
that
you really?
I took for you that I've taken because of you.
Oh my gosh.
And I haven't like shared them because I sometimes think, okay, I'm not able to say I have these stretch marks because I had a baby.
Wait, that's why it's so important that
and
you share
like,
them.
And it's like, I have these stretch marks because I birthed three kids. No, I just have these stretch marks because you know what? I had a great summer in Italy last year. And like, and I really just went to town. And now then my body changed a little.
They're
and
your
then,
memories.
Like
your memory
my
marks.
Stretch marks are my travels and memories.
Oh
of
my
good,
gosh. I love
my stretch
so
marks
much.
Are good times. Every ounce of fat that I carry on this body, I tell you, it was acquired by doing something fabulous. So how could I hate it so much? Right. But I wanted you to know that is like, think of how confident I am and how empowered I am already as a woman. Mm-hmm. And yet I have a saved folder of one day. I have this Burt's Papaya post that one day I will share of my stretch marks because of you.
We should get a shoot done together.
Oh my gosh. I think I need you to do it for me because I'm still nervous about that because it's like, okay, that I'm curvaceous as long as I'm still beautiful.
Mm.
But then as soon as I show something raw and unreal and it's like, but how beautiful can I be? Am I beautiful if I show my stretch marks? And you know, I show my stretch marks on my legs, but I never show my tummy. And like, I guess I do show my tummy, but not in the same way you do. And it's like, you give me permission to be that woman. And so do not underestimate the power of your voice and what you're doing. And you know, like as much as you talk about, you're my fan. I am your fan. You are actually changing how women feel.
Mm.
Do not underestimate the power
of
that.
Cry.
No, you should cry. It's powerful because a girl is sitting at home in Manitoba seeing your post and she now feels good about herself. And
I love that.
She's looking at her tummy and she's saying, okay, maybe I'm worthy because Sarah looks fucking
maybe I can
fabulous.
Go to the beach. Maybe I can do these things. Yeah. And I mean, they're important conversations. And you know what? You're right. We are the media. We are owning ourselves. We're taking back our bodies from the world, from the hands of a society. And we're society now.
You should put a My Size Rock section in your vintage shops that you go to.
Oh my gosh, I should. You know what? I'm going to start using the hashtag. I need to do it more. I'd never use hashtags, but I need to do the My Size Rocks thing because I'm going to start representing the size 8 woman. And maybe I'll be a size 10 one day. And sometimes I'm a size 6. Who cares?
And whatever size you are, you're worthy. You're amazing.
I love you so much. All right.
This
we could do
so
this
good.
Forever. We could do it forever. I
this
know it.
This should be forever.
It
I could
be,
just sit here
we
all
should
after.
Have a pod.
We should have a podcast. Let's do a podcast.
Oh my God. That's coming soon.
Coming soon. As soon as we figure out in our schedules, coming soon.
Oh my gosh. Please check her out. Go find Luxurious Roxy. I'm going to add her stuff into the show notes as well. This was such a powerful conversation. And I really just thank Roxy for being a huge
thank
participant
you for
in
having
it.
Me.
Yeah. Of course, the papayas are going to love you. Okay.
I love the papayas.
Until next week.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.